Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us, friends. No matter if you are the singer or the writer or choir director or the usher, no matter the role, you have a purpose. You are a leader in that purpose. And our goal here is simple, to inspire and equip all to lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling on our lives, which is our purpose. Get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? It's C-U-E. It is how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a starved, desperate, broken, isolated people in building a wall around ancient Jerusalem. He had to be some dynamic leader in order to do that. And essentially, he helped them build a way of life. He cued them up. C-U-E is his for, C is for common ground. Now, what can we agree on? Use a unified thought is what the vision can we share, and E, equally yoked, what is the game plan? What success look like, and what's my role in that? So Q leadership, integrate biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as the model in helping you do two things. One, to get people to trust you, and two, to get people to follow you, discipleship. And so that's the genesis and the grist of Q leadership. As we always do when we start our show, we're going to start with a prayer. Lord, you are merciful, powerful, loving God. We thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry, our audience, and all that are serving you. Lord, we know that Q leadership is your brainchild and our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things, by giving you the glory, and two, serving this generation through Q. Your Lord, your word in Romans 12:2 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So, Lord, please use this ministry to complete that purpose and align, equip, and transform new leaders for your glory. Help others to hear the call, receive the call, and help us to raise some transformational leaders, some gatekeepers in your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So our show is about having a dialogue, having a conversation about leadership in all walks of life based in God's word. Equip leaders with a roadmap to tap into faith and building trust and building discipleship, and highlighting everyday leaders who are making a difference that can testify to God's goodness and to his glory. Our show is a lot of things, but our show, if what it is not, it's not to criticize, but to shine the light on some truth and love, not to tell you what to do, provide a different lens in order to see things, and it's not to focus on mere symptoms of a problem, but the root of the problem. In other words, treat the infection, not the runny nose. So today, as with any day, let's be open. Let's pray that we hear the Lord and not me, and let's help have the right questions or comments, and no matter what the differences may arrive, if there are any, remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there be differences of opinion, but let us do what a true transformation leader of our time says. Let us agree without being disagreeable. And let's be thought partners, have a fruitful dialogue today, so we look forward to it. So last week's show kicks off our Vow to Praise series. We paralleled the cries of two major kings, King David and the King of Kings, Jesus, as both said, my God, why have you forsaken me? In the midst of these two anguished prayers, we shared how a vow to praise can transform agony and abandonment in the passion of a righteous sufferer to the good news of God acting in assured deliverance and blessing assurance for the world. And through the resurrection, through the reconciliation, the restoration, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord, Christ vowed to praise regardless of his circumstances. And I tell you, because of that, we have been saved. And one of the quotes of the show last week was praising praise. And this is before you know it, it's for profit in a sense. Before you know it, you'll be praising praise instead of God. So we always have to be careful about those things, but we'll always have to pray without ceasing, as some of the comments came through last week. And of course, at the end of the day, in all thy ways, we have to acknowledge him at home and at church. and no matter where you are. So have you really been in church where you're just waiting for it to end? Maybe because the reverend's not—he's gone kind of long today, or he wasn't on it, or the church had too many announcements, or it's Super Bowl Sunday, or the Cowboys are playing the Giants. Did it happen today? Did you hear what you're looking for? Hey, please stand for the benediction. But if you're a pastor, you priest, your reverend, or your faith leader, always say some of the same ones. You may even have them memorized by heart. And when it comes to the benediction. And I asked a few friends on Q to share some of their favorite benedictions, and I'm going to read a few as we go through in the next few seconds. So one was, may the Lord watch in between me and you while we're absent from one another to meet each other again. Amen. I think we've all probably heard that one. Another was, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the sweet holy communion of the Holy Spirit rest and rule and abide us in all forever. Amen. Another was, not unto him that is able to keep you from falling, but present you faultless before the presence of glory with exceedingly joy. The only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. Another one says, the mass has ended. Go in peace and serve the Lord. And then lastly, is it, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And something, it could be pretty elaborate or simple or even from a Bible verse. Some even take songs like, blessed be the tie that binds, God be with you till we meet again. Some even made up even a combination of words and as well as biblical scripture. But at the end of the day, you know, we also focus on leaving, but it's also so important, portion of that service. And in Psalm 22, David shares, you know, from you comes the theme of my praise and the great assembly. Before those who fear you will fulfill my vow. And we declare today that benediction is kind of what is fulfilling that vow in essence. And we'll talk about some of that today. But when I think about waiting for the benediction and waiting for a sermon or speech to end, I think back a few years ago, I had the privilege of speaking at our main dinner at our family reunion. It was really the highlight for me for several reasons. It was a way of engaging my family about the Spirit and telling them about my ministry, kind of test the waters of eventual place where the Lord was leading me to be in the pulpit at someday. And then thirdly, test some new material on how to keep the village together. Because, you know, we reflected on our way we grew up. We reflected on faith and family. You know, we really made do with limited resources, but with a lot of love, from working in the fields to fishing, hunting, and most everyone was an avid hunter, especially my dad. You know, the woods, in a sense, was all grocery store. I got a kid sometimes. And then ultimately, we tried how to keep the village together despite our distances where we live on this great earth that the Lord provided us. So as you would guess, a few people in my family, they say I sometimes get long-winded, so I don't know where they get that from, but I'm still trying to figure that out. So they conspired together to delegate one of my uncles to kind of tell me to keep it short. But I wish they had told me a few days prior because that ship had sailed. I already had written my speech and everything was ready to go. So my brother Tom, of course, introduced me and with some gracious words that really came from the heart. And the speech was really going well, but as I was getting to the climax, you know, to the real substance, to the word, it touched some hearts and minds and spirits, and then ultimately to a quick close, in other words, getting to the benediction, someone got up. Someone got up, looked around, looked at me with those piercing eyes of his, and looked at and gave a look like, excuse me, but keep talking. He didn't point his finger up in the air to say excuse as he walked through. He just kind of walked in the middle of the tables. And as you can imagine, he got up. He got everybody's attention because he was the elderly statesman of our family. And you could hear slight giggles as his feet shuffled across the floor heading out. That was one of the longest shuffle walks I ever seen. Where he walked, the giggles continued to spread a little bit amongst the kids. It took everything in my being not to laugh too. But I think he was giving me my cue to, hey, it was time for me to end. But you can only guess who that was. It was my dad. It was my pops, Tommy Powell Jr. He was headed to the bathroom, and I guess he had too much sweet tea. And I guess he could not wait on the closing or the benediction or the close, you know. So, but leave it to my mother, you know. As I said, my dad was an avid hunter. You know, my mother, the hunter's wife, came to save the day. I tried to get him, she said, I tried to get him to wait, but you know your daddy. You know that dad has been complaining about his stomach since I cooked him some of that deer meat he had in the freezer this morning. And plus, he drank a little too much tea. So I told my mom I didn't mind, but I was surprised he lasted that long. But you know, my dad had a legitimate excuse, right, of not waiting for me to finish, kind of waiting on the benediction. So in a sense, when we're in church, you know, if you felt that way, what's yours? You know, which leads to the question of the day. Do you ever find yourself waiting on the benediction in church? But, you know, so helping with us with that is Lindsay Benedict, a recording artist who has been entertaining for almost two decades from performance for events and live music venues, churches, and more. She's originally from L.A., Lowell, Alabama, if those who don't understand what that is. And like my mother, probably like her mother, she's a hunter's wife. And so we're going to talk about her ministry. We're going to play some of her music. We're going to talk about the importance of the benediction. We'll discuss that maintaining that legacy of praise and vowing to praise as we learn in that Psalm 22, which is really the subject of our series today. So during the break, after the break, we'll bring on Lindsay. And start our dialogue around Hunter's wife waiting on the benediction. And so please stay with us. Can't afford to miss this. We are taking calls. Calls at 310-861-2331 to ask a question or make a comment. Press 1 on your telephone, and that brings you in. And my daughter Kennedy, that's virtually raises your hand. And then we'll welcome you in. So, friends, we'd love to hear from you, so please call us at 310-861-2331. So during the break, let's listen to the hunter's wife. And when it's done, we'll bring Lindsay on. So this is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
I'm a hunter's wife. There's strange things in my freezer right next to the frozen pizza. Laundry's piled with camouflage. Hanging on my wall.
Hunter's wife, this is Lindsay Benedict, who's on our show helping us with the question of the day, the hunter's wife, waiting on the benediction. So we have our special guest, Lindsay Benedict, who is a recording artist in almost 20 years and served our community in a variety of different events, as well as this is our passion, this is our calling. She does praise for a living. So Lindsay, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Eric. It's an honor.
Oh, absolutely, and appreciate you for coming on this late evening, and we'll get to that song here for a second. I just want to make a quick detour, as I always do with new guests on the show. Now, we'll start with the first couple of questions, you know. One is, what is that one word that describes you?
Well, I thought about that question when I looked over your notes that were helping me prepare for the interview, and it was hard to narrow it down to one, but I would have to say friend. My middle name is Ruth. Yeah, my middle name is Ruth, and Ruth means friend. And I really want to be a friend to everyone I meet, to all kinds of people. I love diversity in life, and I really want to be a person that loves people genuinely. So I would have to say friend.
Friend. You know, I do think that you're probably accomplishing that more than you know. More than you know.
Thank you.
Because I can see that true and true from the time we met so many years ago. You know, so this next one may be trivial for you, but I ask it anyway because there's some things that our friends, our audience probably don't necessarily know, but and so we'll get to some of that. But if money was no issue, what would you do every day?
I want to travel the world making music.
Travel the world
making music. Yeah, that takes money. So if money were no object, I would just want to do two of my favorite things, travel the world and make music to God's glory. I remember sitting on the beach a couple of years ago, and you know how you look out on the ocean and you just feel inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pray a one-sentence prayer at that moment. God, can I please travel the world and make music? And
I get it. Not only if you travel the world, and I'm sure he's answering in his time and his ways, but you're making friends while you're doing it too, right?
That's right.
Absolutely. So I listened to, you know, most of your music, and I started, we just shared The Hunter's Wife. But when I listened to A Hunter's Wife, you know, that song really resonated immediately because it connects with me, of course, and it connects with you because it goes, takes us back to a place where we all grew up in the Deep South, right? You know, life of saying from y'all to the Iron Bowl to fishing and hunting, you know. But, you know, as we listen to it, tell us about that song. Tell us about what inspired it, and it's probably pretty obvious once you hear it, but it was such a great piece, and you should have seen my daughter smiling, and she could just really kind of relate to it, especially when we go back home to Alabama.
That's right. Well, of course, my husband inspired it, but the actual item that I saw on the front porch inspired it one day. I was coming home from somewhere one day, and on my front porch was this bloody deer skull. And, you know, I'm just used to seeing dead animals around my house. You'll open the freezer, and there's a dead animal staring at you. It's just part of being a hunter's wife. So I just, you know, I get inspired to write music through everyday life. That's one of my main sources of inspiration, the music that people can relate to. And I just started thinking, you know, what is it like to be a hunter's wife? What is a day in my life like? And so I decided to make it sort of a comical thing. Verse one of the song says, while he's out blowing that turkey call, I'm spending his money at the shopping mall. So hunting takes up a lot of time, but
yeah.
So does music. You know, my hobbies take up a lot of time, and so I just embraced the extra time that I have in life to go shopping and go to the beauty shop and go out on a ladies' night out. And, you know, while he's out doing his thing, I'm either spending time with my son Joseph or I'm out doing my thing. So that's kind of what the song's about.
Yeah, absolutely. But either way it goes, it's connecting family, right? Connecting family, connecting church. How important is family and church and faith, and really defining who you are and what you do today?
Extremely important. I come from a rich heritage of ministers. My grandfather was the secretary of the Foreign Mission Board, which is now called the North American Mission Board, NAM. And so it's such a blessing and honor to be the granddaughter of such a remarkable man. My mother and my father are both ministers.
Mm-hmm.
My husband has been extremely involved in the church when he was younger. He worked with youth groups. And so his family has a rich heritage of his parents were actually saved when he was around 7 or 8. And they just lived for Jesus, and it inspired all of their children to do the same. And so now we're passing that on to our son, Joseph. And so family and church together is extremely important, and not just blood family, but, of course, the people that you meet in church become some of the best friends you'll ever have, and you do life together and through the good and the bad. So I often think to myself when I hear about someone going through tragedy who doesn't have close family or doesn't have a close church fellowship, I just wonder how in the world they make it through.
Yeah.
So that's how important it is.
It is vital importance, not only just to sustain, but also just also just food, just to stay connected, and also making friends at the end of the day, right? So, you know, I want to pick up the whole element about your grandparents and your parents for a second, but I want to take a quick detour and ask you a question about your musical influence. You know, who influenced you the most when it comes to music, in a sense?
Definitely my father, Charles Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
He is a professional musician. He has been a music minister ever since I can remember. My whole family is quite musical, so you know, I would say my father number one, but my entire family. I started out my musical debut playing the jingle bells in our family orchestra. So, you know, it goes all the way back to a very young age. And the church, of course, various people throughout my church life have influenced me. And I was thinking about that question, and I actually thought back to a lady named Shelley Sipes, who was the Auburn University Baptist Campus Ministries worship leader. She was mm-hmm. a senior, and I was a freshman when I arrived at Auburn, and I immediately got involved at the Baptist Campus Ministries. And she was graduating, and so when they found out I could play piano, they asked me if I would play for their weekly worship services there on Tuesday nights. And it was a bit challenging and scary at first because they played from chord charts, which don't have any written notes on them. And so I said, well, I play the piano, but there's no notes on here. What do I do?
Right.
So that was my first introduction to improvising. But it changed my life. So Shelley, even though I haven't thought about her in years, I'm so glad you asked that question because it made me realize, you know, she was the first one that taught me how to improvise. And now that's really my main form, my main style of playing.
Right. Just improvising, kind of using what you have in order to really move your praise forward, if you will, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, as we think about, you know, connect what you shared as your father, Charles Kennedy, being a big influence, and as well as Shelley Sipes, you know, last week we really discussed the importance of leaving a legacy of praise when it comes to your family. You know, how important is it how important was it to have not only your grandparents and your parents and your family and friends, how important was that legacy of praise to you? And then how is important for you, kind of hit on earlier of how you're trying to extend that to your the next generation. How important is to do that?
It's extremely important that your faith in Christ is the most important thing that you can pass down to your children, and because that's what lasts for eternity. There are lots of many other important things that you want to teach your children and shepherd their heart. But so, you know, learning how to worship, not just knowing that you should do it, but learning why and how and discovering what it is to worship in spirit and in truth. My parents taught me that. They were a huge influence. My mother was my youth minister, and we went to so many youth events together. That was just so fun, really, to have my mother as my youth minister. I loved it. And my father is just such a gifted musician. So to hear him sing not only worship music, but just beautiful music that he's written or instrumental music that he would play on guitar, you know, anything like that inspires me and points me back to God. I love all kinds of music, and my dad does too. So music just draws me to God, and I think that that's being passed down to our son Joseph as well. He's definitely a music lover, and we listen to all kinds of music, but certainly worship music. And so that legacy of music and legacy of praise is really big in our family, and it's extremely important.
Extremely important. What, Joseph? What instrument you think he's interested in playing, or he's just going to be a singer? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, from the time he could talk, he was singing too, and of course that blessed my heart so much. And when we would lay him down to sleep at night, he would sing himself to sleep, and he still does sometimes. Mm-hmm. He's 10 now, and I'm not just saying this because I'm his mom, but he sings on pitch really well. He just got a natural ear. I've been teaching him piano as well, and he loves to play things by ear. In fact, he taught himself pretty much how to play Carol of the Bells for his Christmas recital this past year. I helped him tweak it a bit, but he
sure.
just sat down one day and started playing Carol of the Bells, and I thought, well, where did he get that? You know, I didn't teach him that, but he had heard it on, you know, Christmas music radio that we were listening to, I think, earlier in the week. But so that's really exciting that he enjoys music as well. And I'm a worship leader in our church, and so for him to be able to watch me worship and watch me lead worship and watch his dad worship, there's so much that a child learns just by observation.
Absolutely.
So we try to be really consistent and set that example for him.
You know, really, really walking the talk. And to your point, you said, you know, sure, it's important for them to learn how and why to praise. And and you know, I'm just one of those, and never really have a musical bone in my body a little bit, you know. and I envy that at times, not in a bad way, but you know, we've tried to kind of get our kids into that as well, because my daughter Kennedy plays the bass guitar on Sundays at church, and so hopefully she'll continue.
Cool.
To ultimately share that legacy with her kids once she have them as well. So it's not too, I guess my point is, not too late to start.
That's right. It's never too late.
Not too late to start. But, you know, as you look at that, though, you know, it is what you're doing with Joseph and the whole legacy of praise, what your grandparents and your parents and your parents did to you, and you're doing to your kids, you're equipping them, right? Ultimately leading them and blessing them in such a way with the gifts the Lord is giving you, which kind of preparing them for life in general. You know, so when we come back from the break, we want to pick up that notion about being equipped and blessing me. So as we go into the break, we're going to play Lindsay's song called Bless Me. And so please stay with us. We're talking with Lindsay Benedict around our subject of the day, Hunter's Wife, Waiting on the Benediction. So during a break, please stay with us. Call in and log in with your thoughts. Our number is 310-861-2331. To ask a question or make a comment, press 1 on your phone, and that virtually raises your hand, and Kennedy, my daughter, can bring you in. And we welcome you to in our Blog Talk Radio and our live chat room as well. So, friends, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the number is 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back after a break. God's will and his purpose. That was Bless Me by our special guest, Lindsay Benedict. And we're our question of the day is she's a self-proclaimed hunter's wife and love that that her song of hers. But we're also talking about Waiting on the Benediction. So Lindsay is a recording artist, has been entertaining communities and through events and live music venues, churches, and more for the last 20 years. And we're fortunate to have her. And so Lindsay, you know, we talked about being equipped before the break, and the Lord has obviously equipped you to follow your passion and serving him and making friends, if you will. you know, and he was doing that when we happened to be on the same flight going back to Dallas a few months ago. That's how we reconnected, right?
Right. That was so awesome.
Yeah, it was. And while we're sitting there, and here she is. Of course, we'll always follow each other on Facebook. It was always great to connect again. You know, that flight to Dallas, I would love for you to share a little bit with our friends. You know, you're on the planning committee of what we call the Experience Conference, a conference for worship leaders. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I would love to. So there's a great conference called Experience Conference that takes place every September, the first week after Labor Day, that Tuesday through Friday, and it's at Disney's Contemporary Resort. And so about 3 years ago, I attended the conference, and it's amazing. It truly is just an amazing, incredible experience with God and with others, and, of course, just being at the Disney Resort is incredible, too. And so that year, they made an announcement that they were accepting additional steering committee members. And so I applied. It was this simple one-page application. And in December, following the conference that year, I got a call that I was invited to become a member. And I was so just honored and overjoyed. It has been an amazing opportunity that's opened a lot of other doors for me. So every January, we fly to Dallas for our annual planning meeting, and we actually go out to a ranch in Willowwood. It's called Willowwood, and it's north of Dallas, almost into Oklahoma. So it's pretty cold when we go out there. We always get to see snow usually, and so, you know, as Eric, you saw me, I think, before I saw you, we were on that same flight together, and that was just a divine appointment. It had to be. So the conference is, it's basically for our byline for the conference is a worship conference created by worship leaders. So the steering committee is made up of about 30 people, and we work together as worship leaders coming from experience to plan an amazing conference where other worship leaders and even people on the technical side of worship music come together for equipping, whether it be something very technical or spiritual. Do you need personal growth? And we even have free counseling available for people. I'm not just saying this because I'm a worship leader myself, but I believe worship leaders have one of the hardest jobs in the world. Being a pastor is difficult. Then put music pastor, you know, with that, and you have to be a great musician. You have to have great people skills. You have to be able to coordinate volunteers. It goes on and on, and it can be an extremely challenging job. So at the Experience Conference, we recognize that, and we just provide refreshing and personal renewal for the worship leader. So I get to go and just have a blast at that conference every year. I get to teach a workshop, and I'm doing all sorts of little things behind the scenes, and I love that.
Awesome. You know, how you describe that is essentially it's leading, right? It's ultimately coordinating kind of what Nehemiah did when building this wall at the end of the day, right? As you kind of go through and dealing with people and dealing with resources and ultimately just lead them to one state to another. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. Our committee is the leadership team of the conference. There is a conference staff that works full-time throughout the year to coordinate everything, but we also provide the leadership. The majority of the workshops are taught by the steering committee members at the conference, and we pray with people when they arrive to register, just really, you know, hang out and talk to people in the hallways and just provide, you know, the face of the conference.
Sure, absolutely. You know, you mentioned that the worship leader is one of the hardest jobs, if not the hardest job in church. I definitely can see that, you know, especially as congregations change, people change, music change. So how has praise and worship music changed since you've been involved, or even since you've started, you know, almost 20 years ago with your family?
That's a great question. So back when I was growing up, Christian music, you know, it really hasn't been around that long. I mean, obviously we've had hymns a long time, but contemporary Christian music entering the Christian music scene is still in the course of history a relatively new thing. And so I've, in my lifetime, I've been able to see very traditional churches gradually open their minds to a more contemporary type worship service, where they went from piano and organ to, you know, a four-piece band with maybe even some drums, you know. But then there are churches that I've been to that from the beginning, as far as musical preferences, have embraced a full band from the beginning. So I've seen churches that I thought would never be open to that, you know, move towards that. I've seen our lyrics go from looking at a hymnal and holding it in your hand to being on a screen. So that used to not be a very common practice. I, in fact, remember the days of transparencies. That's a word that our children don't know. But a transparency,
yeah,
exactly. Do you remember that, Eric? And how Mr. Yancey in Algebra 2 class would write on the transparency machine. I just had a flashback.
Right. I had one with Mr. Cakes when you said that, transparency. So that was his favorite.
Yeah.
Turn off the lights.
So, yeah, exactly. So a few technical things there I've seen. I've also seen the church become more open to expressive worship, where maybe, you know, there might be a church that was very structured, very don't lift your hands. We don't understand that. That's kind of an odd thing to us. You know, I've watched churches become more expressive, and I personally love that. I'm a very expressive person, so to be able to go into a church where people are free to do that. People are free to kneel or raise their hands or just sit quietly or sing at the top of their lungs. You know, I've seen churches evolve in that way. So I hope that answers your questions. I guess those are the two things that come to mind.
Oh, it does. And, you know, you kind of think about it, you put it in perspective, you're right, the whole genre, you know, hasn't always been around. Of course, we've always had, you know, from gospel, from my perspective, but really the whole music industry around, you know, Christian faith-based music is still fairly young as you think about other genres. And you know, you kind of led into the other question about how the church responded. But, you know, as we think about, you know, a worship service in a sense, you know, we were talking about our subject of the day, waiting on the benediction. I'm sure you've heard your share of benediction. But, you know, if we kind of think about it, if we're in this whole series about vow to praise. And I just want to get your, it's maybe a simple answer or it may be trivial for asking. But I just wanted to get a perspective and really just start a dialogue with the audience and even here or even afterwards. You know, your mom, what is praise? How would you define praise?
I think the simplest way to define praise is giving admiration to someone. We can praise each other for a job well done, or praise each other for our good character. But obviously, you know, in talking in the sense of praising God, just giving him the admiration that he deserves and being bold and speaking that and showing that in the way that we live our life. And when you asked me that question, I also thought about the word worship. And I remember hearing a wonderful teaching by Louis Giglio, who's with the Passion Movement, Chris Tomlin and David Crowder and a lot of those guys have been associated with that. And I remember him defining the word worship as worth-ship. I hope you were able to understand what I said. So the word worth-ship, that's really where the word worship came to be, is when you combine worth-ship together and showing, basically saying, God, you are worthy. So it's the act of saying that, doing that, showing that. That's basically how I would define it.
Wow, great point. Worth-ship. God, you are worthy to be praised. And
that's right.
And I love that. Thanks for sharing that nugget there. You may have just got our quote of the day. So always
okay.
So you know, as we go through our, you know, as we talked about, you know, the benediction. So I'm going to ask you to define something. So what exactly is a benediction in your mind as well?
Well, you asked the right person that question because my last name is Benedict, right?
Oh, so, wow. I didn't notice, right? I did not notice.
Well, I have sort of a long answer to this question, but I'll try to make it short. I decided I wanted to write a song called Benediction, which then turned out to be the title track of my record. And so it made me think, well, I know what a benediction is, but let me just look up Webster's definition. And it turns out it has three meanings. A benediction can be a closing prayer, which is, you know, obviously what we're most familiar with, but it can also be a collection of prayers. So not just kind of like you gave a benediction at the beginning of the show tonight. You listed out all those various benedictions that people have spoken throughout the years. Well, you also, you know, those were a collection that you were speaking. And then the word also just means blessed. My last name means blessed. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
So my name means blessed friend. I think that's pretty cool. But so that's the definition of benediction. So when I was recording my record, I wanted the record to take on all three definitions of the word. I wanted it to be, to have a closing prayer, and the song Benediction is that. Then I also realized that the songs I was writing at the time were all prayers put to song. And so every song on the record is a prayer. So the record is a collection of prayers. And then I pray that people are blessed when they listen to it.
Amen. Bless me. That's and bless some friends. I love that. Thanks for sharing this. So really and truly, that blessing comes in several forms, right? How important is it in life when it relates to protection, comfort, abundance, and really just some simple words of assurance? You know, how important is that when, no matter if you're in a church servant or you just praying for someone on the street, how important is that?
Well, I have this little bookmark that says prayer changes things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. I mean, there are so many examples in Scripture where someone interceded for someone else, and that's when God acted. And so a lot of times, you know, you hear that saying, I feel like my prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling, but God is hearing, and he does listen, and he does answer, and he does act and respond to our prayers. It's obviously not always the way we want him to sometimes, but prayer, it changes things. So with a benediction being a prayer, it's absolutely important. You know, I've heard many benedictions, but it is a very important part of a church service. It, you know, every event, every service needs a beginning, you know, has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I know that's not a very profound statement on my part, but, you know, we come in to his presence with a call to worship. We have to get the things that are in our mind out of our mind and focused on God, you know, that maybe that little spat you had with your child or your spouse on the way to church. Well, so we come in and we focus on God. We forget about the cares of the world for a while. We have our worship, and then we move into the message in a typical service. But, you know, what if there was no closing prayer? It would almost seem a little bit incomplete. And so in context of a worship service, the benediction, I think, it brings that closure, and it brings that sending out back into the world. And then the prayers, you know, that we offer, the collections of prayers that we pray throughout our day, extremely important.
Extremely important. It goes right back to the point where it ultimately say, God, you are worthy, no matter what my circumstances are. You know, if you look in Psalms 22, David shares, from you come the theme of my praise and great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vow. As we look at this, isn't a benediction somewhat a vow to praise at the end of the day?
Absolutely. It's that moment that you pray, whether it's the end of a service or any prayer throughout the day, that you're just reminding yourself through that prayer and telling God, I want to live for you. I want my life to be a praise offering through all that I do. So, yeah, a benediction, that was so such a great revelation when I looked up the meaning of that word, because we can offer benedictions throughout the whole day. You know, it's simply a prayer. We think of it as that closing prayer, but so to be able to vow that and offer those benedictions throughout the day is a privilege.
Right, but you know, that's exactly the point, even though we won't touch on it here, is where we take that part for granted, but it should be something part of our lives each and every day. We'll touch on that a little bit later. But when it comes to vow and praise, to your point of all of this, at the beginning, in the middle, or the end, no matter how we characterize the service, we're asking him, we're telling him, hey, we're going to draw near, right? Would you agree with that? We're going to draw near to you, no matter what our circumstances are.
Yes, because when we draw near to him, his word says he draws near to us. He waits on us to draw near to him. That's what that word, that verse says to me, that, you know, he's right there, but he's just waiting for us to come close, and then he'll come even closer. So it's an awesome opportunity that we have every day to walk closely with him and draw near.
And draw near. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and during the break, we're going to listen to We Draw Near. And great segue, Lindsay. And we're talking to Lindsay Benedict, and our subject of the day is Hunter's Wife. And we're waiting on the benediction. So stay with us. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331 if you've got any questions for Lindsay. Press one on your telephone, and we can raise your hand. We'll bring you into our conversation. So friends, we'd love to hear from you. Again, our number is 310-861-2331. Excuse me. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell, and listen to We Draw Near.
Feel the touch of your sweet embrace.
our mission here is simple, to help you lead for you are, but getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose. And you're listening to Lindsay Benedict, We Draw Near. She's our special guest today, and we're talking about waiting on the benediction. So Lindsay has been a recording artist for most of her life, and her calling is sharing the gospel, sharing God's grace and with others and making friends, and her whole vision is to continue to travel that around the world, and we're going to pray that Lord give provisions in order to do that as we continue to minister and praise His name, and of course He's always worthy of whatever He does. And so Lindsay, before the break, we're talking about drawing near, and of course that's the whole genesis of your song. So can you talk about that song in a sense, and what inspired you to of course, probably pretty obvious when you listen to the title, but just kind of give the audience a flavor of how that came about.
Thanks for asking that question, because it brings a good memory back to me. I was leading worship at a church called the Father's House in Tallahassee, Florida, and this was a non-denominational church that was very open to the moving of the Holy Spirit and what He might want to accomplish in a worship service. And so the way that looked on a certain Sunday, we might sing our worship set that I had planned and worked with the team and the band. But then other Sundays, we may just do something completely spontaneous, a song that wasn't planned, or someone might actually sing a new song, meaning it's a song that God just put in their heart at that moment, and they're making it up right there on the spot. And I've had an amazing opportunity to experience worship services like that throughout the years. And We Draw Near came from such a moment. I was leading worship, and we got to the end of whatever song we were doing, and I just started singing. I don't even remember the melody at the time, but I just started singing, God, we draw near to You, we draw near, and thinking about that verse that says, when we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. And so later on, the week after or so, I just started working and developing that song even further, and it became the song that you heard earlier.
We draw near. It's so simple, and I love the backstory, the fact that it's led by the Holy Spirit in order to move you to make that. Thanks for sharing that. You know, as we think about, you know, no matter what the challenges we have in life, it's fairly simple. You just draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you, and then build a fence around you, and we all understand that. But, you know, as we live for Christ, you know, definitely it's challenging, and so it is using this in a sense to kind of lead to some other work that you're doing. As simple as ABC, can you talk about the ABCs of drawing near to Him?
Certainly. I have a feature on my website, lindsaybenedict.com, that's called ABC, and I can't take credit for it. This is something that's on the back of the bulletin at Celebration Baptist Church in Tallahassee, Florida, where my family lived for 15 years. We're now living in Nashville. But on the back of the bulletin every Sunday, it has the ABCs of accepting Christ as your Savior. And the A stands for acknowledge that you have sinned. The biblical basis for that is Romans 3:23. B is for believe in Jesus Christ. Believing in Jesus is more than just knowing He exists, is placing total trust and faith in Him. Believe in Jesus and you will be saved, and that's based on Acts 16:31. And then C stands for confess. Confessing Christ means accepting His plan for your life. If you say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved, and that's Romans 10:9. So I just felt like God was leading me to put this on my website, because, you know, when people come to hear my music or read my blog or something, why not take advantage of that opportunity to share the gospel in a way that to me is just as simple as it says, ABC. And it's interesting because from time to time I look at the stats on my internet address here, and you can see how many people are looking at certain tabs on your website. And I get maybe about 40 people a month looking at that ABC tab, and I just pray, God, if these are people that don't know Jesus, that they'll read this and, you know, seed will be planted, or that they will confess Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Amen. You know, I'm going to take a quick detour here for a second, Lindsay, if you allow me. And, you know, we've been talking about the benediction and what its meanings, and therefore, if you can take a benediction, and mostly, they probably have one, if not all, of these ABCs in it, in order to us moving us to be commissioned, in order to be on our mission, be on our purpose for the Lord, if we're leaving church or if we're just leaving our home each and every day. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. These are the ABCs of becoming a Christian. Yeah, that's a great point. We need to practice these ABCs in our daily living. We need to acknowledge our sin on a regular basis and confess that sin. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And just, you know, saying that you believe in Christ, reminding yourself, building up your faith in that way, because as we all know, there are so many things coming against us, especially even more now, I think, Eric, today than when you and I, back in the day when we were growing up, the world is a lot different now. Our children have to deal with things that we never even imagined would be taking place in the world. And so just building your faith up and reminding yourself of who Christ is in your life and what he has done to save us through dying on the cross and being raised from the dead, reminding yourself of that regularly is extremely important.
It's extremely important. It is a vow to praise, right? If you think of it, it is absolutely a vow to praise. But so Lindsay, what happens when you don't feel like praising? What do you do? What do our friends and audience do when we don't feel like it?
Well, on the days I don't feel like it, first of all, I'm honest with God about that fact that, you know, I'm going through a struggle here, Lord. I'm asking why. I don't understand. It may even be at a point where you're a little bit angry with God, or maybe you're a lot angry with God. Well, just admit how you truly feel. He knows anyway, right?
Right.
And then, you know, it may not be to the point yet where you feel like even singing a praise song, but sometimes just get up off the couch. You know, if you're having one of those days where you just don't want to do anything, just by getting up and moving around and doing something will shake you and remind you that, okay, I'm going to get through this. So kind of just do something. On those days you don't want to praise, confess to God, I'm having a bad day, get up and do something. And then finally, as you are doing those things to help yourself, then that faith will begin to well up inside of you, and you'll want to sing that song of praise, or you'll want to pray a prayer, or you'll want to sit down and read the Word. That's what I've learned in my life. That little formula helps me sometimes. Or what I've been doing lately is before I even get out of the bed, I pray, because, you know, as soon as those feet hit the floor, you're going to be busy. You're going to have think about your to-do list. There'll be things to do. So lately I've just been fulfilling my vow to praise before I even get out of the bed.
Right. You're so right. It is making sure you have that discipline in order to give him, in a sense, your first fruits of the day. And that's why I try to do that. I had a guest on, Steve Fitzhugh,
who has a great children's book about Little Stevie, The Adventures of Little Stevie, and a few weeks ago, and he talked about his grandmother, the secret, her secret of all her wisdom, and it was 7-Eleven, and we didn't say it on the show, but it was in his book, but ultimately 7-Eleven, she read the Bible at 7 and 11 every day, and that was the secret. And so to your point, that's really was her ABCs of how she went about her day. So I want to give that to you.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love
exactly.
that. Thank you.
Exactly. But, you know, if you think about it, though, I'm thinking on the fly here, you know, when you don't feel like praising, the ABCs too, right? It's admit, getting busy, and I'm still figuring out what the C is, but you say there's a start, your faith will start consuming you, so I'll stick with the C for right now. But in a sense, there's mm-hmm. ABCs of dealing with that as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. You admit that, God, this is one of those days where I don't feel like praising. I want to just have a little pity party here, or maybe you're not even having a pity party. Maybe you're just struggling to just survive. There are times we all go through that. And then B, you know, believe is another great one there. I'll just believe that, okay, if I praise in spite of my circumstance, God is going to show up. It may not be in the way I want him to, but he is there. And then, you know, the confess on those days you don't want to praise, just be honest about it. And my song that you might be playing here in a minute, it's called See Me Through. And it's about one of those days that I had. I woke up one morning with this piercing pain in both of my upper arms. I could not move my arms. I couldn't feed myself. I couldn't brush my own teeth. And it just seemed to come on suddenly, and it was painful. And it turns out it wasn't anything extremely serious. It acts up every once in a while, but it turns out it was tendonitis. But in the moment, it seemed life or death to me. I took it very extreme. I didn't take it well because I'm a musician, and I thought, what is going on in my body? I even had these thoughts like, will I ever be able to play the piano again, or things like that. And so when I was feeling better and the pain started to subside, I was driving to work one day, and I just felt like God was speaking to me, saying, I want you to praise me. Oh, will you praise me? I'm driving down the road, and I said, but God, I don't feel like praising you. I caught the little attitude.
Right. Oh, like it, Lord, you know, get off
yeah,
of me.
Yeah, yeah. but I did it anyway, and I started singing, I don't feel like praising you. And that turned out to be the beginning of that song, See Me Through. So,
well, hey, with that, great intro into that song. And I will, if you want to do it live, we'll do that too. But I could go directly to
no, just play the
song,
recording.
I know it's kind of late in the evening, but I don't want to put you on the spot like that. But,
Thank you. So
we're going to go to Lindsay's song, See Me Through. It's about when you don't feel like praising. We're going to come right back. We're going to take some questions. Got some callers on, Lindsay. And so when we come back, we'll continue our dialogue when waiting for the benediction with our special guest, the Hunter's wife, Lindsay Benedict. And so feel free to stay with us. You're listening on Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Find a way out.
Max. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is to help you leave where you are, but getting this on cue with God's will and His purpose. And we just listened to See Me Through from our special guest, Lindsay Benedict. And it's about when you don't feel like praising. Just ask the Lord to see you through. So our question of the day is waiting on the benediction. And so we have our hunter's wife, Lindsay Benedict, talking us through when you don't feel like praising. So Lindsay, thanks for staying with us.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. So we had a couple callers. One, I guess they got logged off with a question. So, but we did have another question through Facebook. And I guess one was wanting to figure out where they could is your music on iTunes. They can download it and so forth, or where to find it, right?
Yes, you can find me on iTunes. I'm also on CD Baby. If you go to lindsaybenedict.com and go to my music tab, you can purchase my music there as well.
Sure, absolutely. So I want to get that in real quick because I didn't want someone else to log off again before we got to the question. So. But that song, See Me Through, when you don't really feel like praising, so tell us about it, right? I know that you shared a little bit about it, but what should our friends do, or what they take from that song when they really don't feel like praising, right?
Well, in listening to that song, you know, I don't listen to my own music maybe as much as I should to remind myself of what God has taught me through that song, but the chorus says, it says, I don't feel like praising you, but I know if I do, you will see me through every trial and tribulation, every purpose, every vision, every frustration. So those are common rhyme and theme going there. And so in those moments we don't feel like praising, it's because we're frustrated, we're going through a trial, we're struggling to find our vision, or maybe we know exactly what our purpose is, but we don't see that being fulfilled to the level that we want it to be. And so all those things can get us discouraged. But one of my spiritual gifts is encouragement, and that was another thing that I really wanted people to get from this record that I was able to record called Benediction. All of them are prayers put to song, but they're also songs of encouragement and songs of honesty about real spiritual struggles that we go through. You know, a lot of times we go to church, we feel like we have to put on our church mask. Oh, yeah, I'm fine. How are you today? I want to be real. I'm tired of pretending, you know, a lot of times that everything's going okay, and so that's what the song is really about. I remember I entered this song into a songwriting competition, and one of the comments I got back was, you know, it's a good song, but it's a little too honest. And I thought to myself, are you kidding? why shouldn't we be honest? You know, of course, we need to use tact. We can't just say everything we're thinking all the time. But I thought, you know, well, maybe it's about time somebody did have an honest song out there, that there are days, even though we are Christians, we aren't perfect and we have these feelings. So when those feelings come up, as I was saying earlier, to me, you just need to admit them and confess them and be honest about it, and remind yourself. I think we can be too hard on ourselves sometimes when we feel discouraged, and we need that help. We need somebody to help us and come alongside us. And, you know, don't get down on yourself for feeling that way, because that's just going to make it worse. So that's my little soapbox for tonight.
Oh, no, I get it, because it's not only just real feelings, but we're dealing with real problems. You alluded to earlier that this generation are dealing with some things that we didn't necessarily deal with. I think it's also part of our environment as well. of how we were raised as well. Sure, some of these things exist, but not to the level of magnitude. So now imagine, you know, someone or kids or someone at that age going through similar things, but also have to deal with what society gives them. It's absolutely time for us to be honest and not look for the politically correct answer in order to really try to move God's glory beyond from one state to the other. So I hear you. So you can just continue to keep it raw. Keep it raw.
Yes. Yes. That's one of my goals in the music that I write, for it to be honest. And I think it captures people's hearts and attention that way.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, from being a friend, you know, and now being friends encourage people. So it is your makeup at the end of the day, right? So this is one of those I'm going to keep close, see me through, absolutely. You know, when, you know, as we come in to a close, I had a few more questions for you, but I have a question from my producer and eldest daughter here who wanted to come in and ask you a question. So her namesake, of course, your last name is, and it wasn't, of course, there's a connected, but her first name is Kennedy. So, Kennedy, what is it?
I love that. Hi, Kennedy.
How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Great. My question was, out of all the songs that you have written, which is your favorite?
Wow. That's such a good question. One of my favorites is called I Am More. It's based on Romans 8, I Am More Than a Conqueror. And I actually got to sing this song for the former Archbishop of Canterbury. And I didn't know what Archbishop of Canterbury was, honestly, until I met one, but basically the Archbishop of the Church of England. He served during the time when Diana was killed. And so, you know, it goes back a couple of years, but he presided over a service at my dad's church, St. John's Episcopal, in Greenville, Alabama, where I grew up, and we had the former Archbishop of Canterbury at an even song is what it was called, and I got to sing my song, and at the end of the service, he walked up to me in his British accent and said, "My, I was quite taken with that." So he liked the song so much that it was put in a book of poetry for his wife for her 80th birthday.
Wow.
Wow. Well, great. Kennedy, thanks for the question.
Thank you.
And so,
yeah, thank you.
So, Lindsay, you kind of hit on it earlier, but how people find you, and you got this whole notion about live, hope, and learn. Kind of talk about that a little bit, and just kind of give a notion of you know, your website and other connections to help people follow you as you continue to travel the world and make new friends.
Yeah.
Support, right?
Yeah, certainly. Well, you can find me online at lindsaybenedict.com, on Facebook at Lindsay Benedict Music. And when you go to lindsaybenedict.com, you can hear my music there. I also have a tab about Live, Hope, Learn, which is a ministry that my family supports. I help them with their newsletter, getting the word out. It's a ministry that helps orphans in Haiti. And it was started by a friend of mine in Tallahassee after the massive earthquake there and devastation. He was compelled to start an orphanage, and so the children are fed, clothed, and educated in Christian education. So it's an amazing opportunity that you can give to. You can find out more about it on my Live, Hope, Learn tab on my website. And I'm living in Nashville now, so you'll hear a little bit about what I'm doing in Nashville. I'm a worship leader at church here, and I coordinate a songwriters night called Music City Song. So look for Music City Song on Facebook as well. We have a page there, and I'm working on a website as well. So those are the places you can see what I'm doing.
Well, great. So Lindsay, we thank you for being with us tonight. You definitely got a song on your heart in a lot of different ways. And thank you for sharing with us the talking about the benediction. Is really, if it's a dismissal or it's a mission or it's a commission, what the Lord provides us to do, it is something that we need to take more seriously, not only just the end of the church, but ultimately every day in our lives, and really get to the whole ABC. We thank you for that. Is there anything that we can make sure we'll be in prayer with you as well before we let you go tonight?
Well, I would ask you to be in prayer as I move into next phase of ministry. My family moved to Nashville about 2.5 months ago. It was a dream of mine to move here, but I never thought that dream would come true. But I'm realizing it was a dream that he put in my heart, and he totally made it happen. It was not of my doing. So I really just want to be faithful and be able to hear and see what he's doing in this new season of life. So some prayer for that would be amazing. And, Eric, I just have to say, my goodness, I haven't really hung out with you since we were teenagers, and you're awesome. You were always a leader, you know, in school, but to hear you speak, there's a preacher in you, buddy. I love it.
I thank you. You know, I was one of those, I ran for alone. I was called a long time ago, and I just ran. He just kind of catching up with me. Right.
I see.
No. Well, thank you. As you said at the beginning of a show, that it was a divine appointment that we ran into each other on the same flight, coming back to Dallas. So this won't be our last time being connected. I assure you of that. And I appreciate you. But we're gonna touch virtually and agree on that he continued to supplant you in the right way, and that level of discernment to know what the next phase of your life is. And we thank you again. We've been blessed to have you tonight.
Thank you. It's been a blessing for me, too. God bless your ministry.
Thank you. Thank you, Lindsay. That's Lindsay Benedict, a hunter's wife, and she helped us with every waiting on the benediction. You know, as we open the show with benedictions that our friends shared over the weekend, and we want to close with one from them, right? And this one was kind of long, but ultimately it kind of describes it and is the collection of prayers, as Lindsay shared with early there. She defined what a benediction is. And it said, walk with God, he will walk with you. Talk with God, and he will talk with you. Listen to God, and he will listen to you. Build with God, and he will build for you. Work for God, and he will work for me. Love God, because he first loved me. Now unto God, who is absolutely able to do anything but fail, may God make you sleepless until you help somebody. May God make you restless until you help yourself. May God irritate you until you have enough sense to worship him. May God bless you until you have to give stuff away. Henceforth, now, and forevermore, the blessed people of God say amen. That's from my good friend and from her brother's church in, I think, the Chicago area. But ultimately, if you look at that benediction, it's really walk, talk, listen, build, work, love, sleeplessness, restlessness, irritate, bless. It sounds like the ABCs, as Lindsay talked about. It's ABCs of not only accepting Christ, but also whenever you're feeling, you don't feel like praising. But at the end of the day, it sounds like purpose. It sounds like be on your purpose. And at the end of the day, Lord has called all of us, you and me, for his glory. We just got to accept it. And we have to understand those ABCs. In other words, he wants us to get on cue with his will, get on cue with his calling on our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. So that's our show for tonight. So I'd like to offer thanks like us on Facebook before getting to the thank yous for all of those who supported us. Facebook on Cue Radio. Put us on your prayer list. And please invite a friend to listen to the show or to next week's show. Consider Q Leadership as your curriculum and training for your church. And also be in prayer for us for our next phase of our ministry, because we've got a lot of great things that are happening. Hopefully be able to announce some things in the coming weeks. I give all honor and praise to the Master, who's the master of the ABCs, as Lindsay shared, that Jesus Christ our Savior. Those who tuned in, my special guest, Lindsay Benedict, a hunter's wife, and she really helped us with helping us understand we shouldn't be just waiting on the benediction. The benediction is something we need to be a part of our lives each and every day. So my producer assistant, my almost 16-year-old Kennedy, thank you, and congrats today on that big win for in volleyball. So my better half and wife, Ty, youngest princess, Carson, my family, mom, sisters and brother, mother-in-law, friends and family, and Facebook dedicate this show to the families and the communities in L.A., in Lower Alabama, that is. And so if you'd like to be a sponsor, please email us at onq@qleadership.com. This has been On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Until next week.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are
you lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue. Let us help you get on cue.